Well, it's good to be with you. It's good to be with anybody, right? But you guys in particular, we'll all be glad when all this is over. At least we hope it'll soon be over. We can get rid of our masks and quit masquerading. Great to be here. I think the last time I was with you was a year ago, but it was through Zoom. It's never as nice preaching with Zoom. There's something about seeing faces. My wife said, well, I can stand in front of you so you have an audience. I said, well, it's an audience of one, so not quite the same. So it's good to be here. I'm just going to make a couple of updates here on the district. First of all, when you come in at the table, I put a couple of pamphlets there. If you didn't pick it up, that's too bad, because you can wave this and say, well, I'm done, or if you have a question, or if you're hot. So it has multiple purposes. But primarily, somebody said, you know, when you come into a church, you should have something so that people can see a little bit about what the district is. You come and speak and you preach the word and that, but what do you represent? So this is in the back if you want to take it, a little brief synopsis of the Alberta Parkland District as well. So you can take one as you go out if you'd like. I think with all the pandemic, we're all wondering how we're doing. And last year, we actually had a fairly good year as a district, not because we had so much still good giving or anything. We had so little expenses. We can't do anything. Can't have any retreats, can't have any conferences. The superintendent couldn't really travel much. So, Calvin, when you were treasurer, this would have been a dream year. The budget always balanced. So, and this year, it's somewhat the same. We're holding our own, but again, it's because our costs are down considerably. We're weathering COVID through all of our churches, and, you know, that's a tough time. You know, it's tough for pastors. They got to navigate this neutral place in the middle between the extremes of the maskers and the anti-maskers. And, you know, if you do, you know that in marriage, if you have to compromise, you're generally losing something at either end, right? And they're experiencing the same. So it's a struggle for them. So particularly pray for your pastors, support them. These are tough times. But we do have good pastoral stability throughout our district. We have a couple of pastoral searches going on right now. Don Ford resigned up in High Level. He'll be done the end of May. So that church is looking for a senior pastor. It's quite a significant church to have to fill. And then right this weekend, in fact, we're having a candidate coming to our latest addition to the district, our Eckville church, the latest church that joined us. And they have moved in the 2 years we've worked with them from just being a group of about 40 people who had nothing. They had no idea whether we're a church plant, whether we were supposed to be a Bible study, what we were supposed to be. They had no idea, but they were just dropped, orphaned by another church group, and we picked them up, and they now are organized. They got a constitution. They have their first board. They've got their charity numbers. Everything is go. They said, we're ready to call our first pastor. So that's happening actually, hopefully, this weekend. So God's doing some good things. Our Wembley work, probably some of you know things happening there better than I do, since you're right in this area. But as far as I know, it's adjusted well to church planting under COVID restrictions, kind of hard to reach out to people when you're not supposed to meet with them and you can't visit their homes and all the rest. But they've been able to do it fairly significantly still online. And of course, they do meet in person a smaller amount. So the good thing is our Wembley work is extremely well supported by our district, and especially the churches up in this northern area. And I know you're part of that. Thank you so much for that. That's been amazing. It's just been a miracle. 2 years ago, we had that building available to us, but we had no idea how we were ever going to get that. And now it's just a small mortgage left on it. And I'd love to even see that finished off yet, but maybe they need to learn to carry a mortgage too, so it's maybe not all bad. And last news item, I'm sure you've probably heard that over the Christmas COVID shutdown, I was sitting at home. I had had COVID myself, and so couldn't go anywhere, couldn't go out. So it was kind of like a wilderness time. And I could just think and stew and brew. And I was thinking about the future. Where do we go once COVID is done? And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, it's not probably going to happen this year, but the real breakout, once we can probably drop our masks and really get going again, will be in 2022. And then it just hit me one day. It was like the Lord just said, He has to increase, I have to decrease. I'm saying, Lord, why are you telling me that? That's, of course, words from John the Baptist. He was referring to Christ. But that verse kept nagging in my thoughts. And suddenly it just hit me. I think the Lord's telling me it's the next guy that needs that opening up in that momentum, not me when I'm coming to the end. So I had two more years left, but I told my board beginning of January that this will be my last year, hopefully, that they should begin initiate a superintendent transition and succession plan. So that's what they're doing. They have a search committee working on it, drafting what they feel they need as a district. And hopefully by conference time at the end of October, we'll be able to have a candidate to present, and then he would take over at the change of the year. So that's kind of my plan or my thoughts. I've got 8 months left. So that kind of means I'm going around, and this might be one of the last times I'm here. So at least as superintendent, I'm always open to still coming around and visiting. But my thoughts are a little different when I think of that, because I'm looking back after almost 14 years of doing this. It's the longest we've had a superintendent in our district. Previous two were both 9 years. And I was reading 3 John one day. And it goes, the elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you're walking in it. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they're strangers, and they've testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, doesn't accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Quite a guy, eh? Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly and will speak them face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. I like how he starts. John the Elder. And he's the apostle of love. He's probably the last surviving apostle by now or close to it. And he says, begins, I'm the elder, and I'm writing to you, and he calls them my friends. My friends. Isn't that great to be somebody's friend? Now, I'm certainly not an apostle. Sometimes people say, well, you're kind of like a bishop. Well, I'm not even a bishop, really. I don't share a commonness with this writer in his lofty position. The only thing in common is that both John and I have an itinerant ministry. And John's writing as the elder, and whatever the elder means, it certainly means that not just age-wise we've gotten older, but probably experience-wise too, right? The longer we live, the more experiences we have. And 14 years after taking this role, I've accumulated some experiences. And in that sense, I'm now the elder. I look a little older too, don't I? I think I put on a few pounds here. Got a lot whiter up on top. There's snow on the roof. And I'm starting to feel like the bones creak a little bit more. So I'm starting to feel like, I'm kind of in that elder zone. So today I identify with the title elder, or at least older. 14 years older. And like John, the years were traded for something far more meaningful than just time. It's people. That's what's been traded, right? People, relationships, friends. I remember one of the first times that Shirley and I were here. I think it was actually a Christmas social that you were having. And you all were having such a good time. And you invited us to join you. But you know what? You were all nameless. And we sat there, and some people tried to engage us a little bit, and we tried to engage back, but we didn't know anything about you. We didn't know any names about you, what to, labels to attach, or anything. And then each year you successively called us to come again, and thank you, Pastor Dan, for faithfully trying to at least give me a presence in your church annually. And each year we gathered more names and more personalities with those names we could attach, and some of the gifts that belonged with those names. And John the Elder would have had that same experience as he was an apostle. Initially nameless believers, but over time he'd start knowing the names. and he'd start calling them by name. And now toward the end of his life, he writes as the elder to what had been nameless faces initially, to what have become now very precious friends. Now it's interesting, this letter, because John wrote three. In the first letter, we don't even quite know who he was writing it to, but the first letter simply addressed what the people, believers, were to know and believe. The word "that you may know" is the most common phrase in 1 John. So you can go through 1 John and every time highlight, what is it I'm supposed to know as a believer? 2 John, he writes, and he says, "Now, I want to remind you how you ought to walk. Because believing is one thing, but acting is another. How do we behave as believers?" And now in 3 John, he's talking about what they've come to be. And he doesn't say, "Oh, you're all super saints." He doesn't lift them up that way, or "You're just great leaders." He says, "No, in the end, you're friends. You're friends." And he gives this warm glimpse into the early church, what really the church is all about. I often say the church is all saints and all sorts. And it is here too, right? There's saints here, but there's all sorts too. There's some difficult people to deal with. People and problems are a part of church life. And if you're in leadership here or you're the pastor here, you know that. We don't have to ignore that fact. There's people and there's problems. And the reason there's problems is because there's people. That's just the way it is. We bring our problems with us when we come to church. And John actually in this letter doesn't address theology at all. It's not a doctrinal letter like 1 John. He's simply talking about people that he's come to know. And three of them he mentions by name. First of all is Gaius. Now Gaius was the most common name in the Roman Empire. It would be like being called John Smith today. Well, which John Smith? It's the most frequent name in the telephone directory. When you're talking about Gaius, who do you mean? We actually don't know. There's four Gaiuses mentioned in the New Testament. Is it one of those? We don't know. But we know this about Gaius, is that he was loved by John the Apostle. And so common names, very common in the sense that, one of the things I had to do when I came into this role was try to remember names. And I struggle with names. And I only remember a name, not when I hear it, but when I write it and read it. I'm a visual learner that way. One of the great traumas I had this last year, TELUS decided they were using Google as their platform for email. And I use Windows Live. And suddenly they weren't going to take and be able to move my contact list. Well, I've got over 800 contacts over these years. Can you imagine the fear that went through me? I'm going to lose 800 people I know, have come to know. Scary. Many of them have common names. When I went to high level, they're Mennonite, like I grew up in Mennonite community as well, and people would say, "You remember who I am?" And I said, "Well, it's pretty easy among Mennonites. It's It's A, B, C, D. Abe, Ben, Corny, Don, and I'd start going down the list. Right? You got to learn the names. Well, Gaius was one of those common names. Tradition tells us that he was appointed, actually, by John as the apostle to become the first bishop of Pergamum. And so he was likely a pastor, although it's not stated. And John decided that here was a guy who was so good, he'd become a bishop. Well, he was a leader with responsibility who had proven himself. John says he was spiritually solid. I wish your physical health was as good as your spiritual health. Isn't that marvelous? By the way, if you were to wear your spiritual health today and not your physical health on your face, would you look younger or older? Would you look healthier or would you look very sickly? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? John says, well, I wish you actually physically were as healthy as you are spiritually. Because you're walking in truth and love. He was a balanced man. He had a balanced maturity. Sometimes we like to trade just truth against grace or grace against truth. And we forget that the full glory of God is truth and grace, John 1:14 says. They're held in tension together. He was a man with an open house. He entertained the traveling evangelists in that of the early church in his home. He had an open hand. He would send them forth to the next place. Financially sustained, and he had an open heart. And wherever I have gone as a superintendent, I have met Gaius. You know that? I've met him. They have a different second name, but I've met many Gaius. Our district is full of them. I've discovered a number of them right here in Claremont. People that spiritually they're healthy, they're sound, they're mature, they're balanced, they're generous. You've welcomed me into your home. You've been faithful leaders in your church. You've given generously to the Lord's work without any desire for attention. Some of you served with me in the district. I don't know whether that's like becoming the bishop at Pergamum. You get promoted. Well, if your first name is Gaius this morning, I want you to know I've come to know you by name. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for being Gaius in your church. As John says, you are fellow workers with me in the truth. And I hope you prosper physically just as your soul prospers. The second person he mentions here is Diotrephes, who was a little different than Gaius. He was somebody that didn't always welcome people, didn't welcome John. Now, as a regional leader, just like John as an apostle, we occasionally run into the odd Diotrephes. They're the ones that aren't all saints, but rather are all sorts. And we remember their names as well. That's the interesting thing. We remember their names. Diotrephes forgot that leading and loving go hand in hand. And as a leader, that you have to be the beginning of a solution, not the beginning of a problem. Diotrephes was the beginning of a problem. not the beginning of a solution. And the problem was really that he had an ego, and he wasn't going to lose his preeminence. Some have called him the first church boss. I don't always like that term, because the fact is, every church I've discovered has somewhat of a boss. And we need that, by the way. We need people who are leaders. If they're good leaders, good church bosses, we generally call them the patriarch of the church, or the matriarch the odd time. There's nothing wrong with being a leader. And leaders have to have authority, and they need to have power to be able to implement solutions. Nothing wrong with that. The problem with Diotrephes was that it was ambition that had run to his head, and it was always going to be his way. And John now became an adversary to him, kind of like the original Herod when Jesus was born. He wasn't going to entertain that somebody else could usurp his role. Now, the interesting thing about this is, Barclay makes a comment on this. He says that at the time that John was writing this was the time when the early church was transitioning from the autonomy of every local church, just being an organic church in its own little community, totally directed by itself, and was shifting actually to having apostolic authority with some organization and headship about it. So you can understand where John the Apostle would be a threat, right? Here's the local church leader saying, I'm not going to listen to anyone who's above me. And I don't need the denomination. Right? I don't need a pope. I don't need a bishop. We can handle everything locally. Does that sound familiar? It does a little bit, doesn't it? Because in the free church, we love our local church autonomy. It's a conflict that has never completely gone away. And there's a good side to that. But we still have to be open to listen. And Diotrephes did not accept what John had to say. Now, I've been in ministry 40 plus years, not just in the free church. I've met a few Diotrephes in my ministry journey. People much more intent on their own will, and therefore their own won't. Trying to gather God's people together in harmony is difficult when you have a Diotrephes. But I can honestly say I'm so glad that there have been very few people like that I've encountered with that name in the Free Church or in our district. They've been few and far between. But where they've been, I've remembered their name. I've remembered their name, particularly to be able to spare the Gaiuses of the church. Because I don't think Gaius had a good time with Diotrephes. I think it was a hard road for him, Diotrephes in the church. It must have been hard for him to pastor his own church here with Diotrephes in their midst. Sometimes every issue becomes a showdown when you have one. That's why the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 13, verse 17, let your leaders do this with joy, and he's talking about keeping watch over your souls, and not with grief, because it actually becomes unprofitable to you. In other words, no one wins when you have long-standing conflict among personalities. As I say, fortunately, we have very few of them, but we remember the Diotrephes. And then lastly, there's Demetrius. Demetrius. We don't know anything of his leadership. He's not a guy who's in the spotlight in any way. If we didn't have his name, he would be totally anonymous in the church record. We wouldn't notice him in the church pew, probably. He's one of these people that if anyone were to say anything about Demetrius, he'd kind of slink down. Oh, don't mention my name. Don't mention my name. But what does it say about Demetrius? Everyone gives a good report of what a marvelous believer he is. Isn't that great? Nameless in many ways, unnoticed, not wanting attention, not like Diotrephes at all, but just a solid, solid member of the church. John actually, before he mentions Demetrius, says, imitate what is good. He just finished mentioning Diotrephes and then says, don't be like him. Imitate what is good. And then he points. He's now Demetrius. Remember him? What a great guy. Everyone talks well of him. He's got an amazing reputation in the church and those without the church, outside of it. These are the salt of the earth believers that have a good testimony from everyone. I've met a lot of Demetriuses. They're more prevalent yet than the Gaiuses. Just wonderful, wonderful people. I've met some Gaiuses in churches too. Great leaders and pastors. You've got one of them. You want to promote him to Bishop of Pergamon? He could be that. Make a good bishop. And I've met the occasional Diotrephes. They stand out because actually they want to stand out. And I've met countless Demetriuses, people who make it such a privilege to be their leader, who support without wanting recognition, but who spread the salt and the light of the gospel because that's who they are. That's just who they are. John says, I'm the elder and I'm writing to my friends. These are my friends. Jesus at the end of his ministry said to his disciples, he said, I'm not calling you my disciples. I'm not even calling you my servants. I'm calling you my friends. Probably the greatest compliment we give to people. You are my friend. When I began, as I said, everybody in the district was nameless pretty much to me. And now it's not just A, B, C, or D. Now it's Gaius. Oh, there's a Diotrephes. Sorry about that. And yeah, there's a Demetrius. Actually, there's lots of Demetriuses. And we're friends. So I leave you with this benediction that John gave, the one that Jesus gave his disciples after his resurrection. Peace be to you. God bless. It's a privilege to know you and to be here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this very small pastoral letter that reminds us that the greatest thing that the church gives us is friendship through Jesus Christ. and that we are a community desperately in need of each other, but also giving so much to us through each other. Bless this church. We thank you for it. Thank you for their strength. Thank you that spiritually they're as strong and even stronger than they are physically. They have carried their weight. They have demonstrated their strength in our district. And we pray your blessing upon them. Amen.